We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and it's Monday, April 10th. You know what we do on Mondays? We bring in James McCool. Mondays with McCool. I'll even put this up, right? I forgot about this. The co-author with me on the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. It's a 15-hour audio DFS masterclass you can pick up at theoryofdfs.com. as well as the Theory of DFS for advanced players, which includes James's custom Excel tools that I do use often to choose lineups and compare things and filter things and speed up things. Very efficient. James, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm feeling pretty good this morning. Damascus woke up very late. My son woke up very late, so I had like 2 hours myself this morning, which was incredible. Usually I only eat about 45 minutes these days. So that was pretty cool. How are you doing this morning, Jordan?
Fine. And good morning to the chat. Defic, Wata, Suki Singh, Bart B, Is, I don't know, something like that. Real Life Pitcher, Chase Simmons, Dom Montgomery, Lobo Fish. Good morning. If you have any questions for the show, this is unstructured learning in the morning of DFS strategy. We don't necessarily talk about slates or anything. So if you have a question about how to get better at DFS, it could be MLB DFS. It could be any DFS. It could be sports betting. It could be prop betting. It could be anything. Anything at all. Bankroll management, contest selection, anything. Email them in. questions@theoryofdfs.com. Your questions guide what we cover on the show. Of course, if you want more structured learning, go to theoryofdfs.com. And just 21 hours of audio and Excel tools, just get it right there. James, I wanted to talk today because we have obviously the beginning of a season, sports season. We get a lot of new subscribers.
Yeah,
right. A lot of newer people here at Roto Grinders. Maybe newer people to our Discord. Right, if you're a premium member, people signing up for projections like the Bat. Right, so I see a lot of newer people. Okay, maybe they played DFS for a while, but I haven't seen them in a while. I don't want to say it's a primer. I don't want to say it's a negative episode. Okay, this will be like one of these episodes that 95% of people that are watching aren't the audience that needs to watch the episode.
Sure. Yeah.
What would you consider to be the, I don't want to call them biggest mistakes, but the biggest things from a macro standpoint? I'm not talking about micro. Like, it's like, oh, I accidentally, you know, played, you know, I didn't play the late player in my utility spot, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That's always the sign of someone like, oh, you played the 4 p.m. player in the our running back slot in the utility slot. You have the one, the Like, yeah, that's a mistake, but it's like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more macro mindset type of stuff. What are things that prevent people, things that people do that prevent people from becoming a profitable DFS player?
I'll go super macro here. One of the biggest things that I always mention when I go into coaching, because I've done a lot of coaching at this point, and the biggest thing that I think I run into for people who just are completely on the wrong track with it is not understanding why they're playing DFS. And specifically, like, what their goal is for any given season or during the year or any sport or any slate individually. Like, the biggest thing, the biggest mistake that I think I see people make is just not understanding why they are playing DFS.
So ask me, what are answers to those questions? As far as like, if you ask me, Jordan,
why
are you playing DFS?
Yeah. So we're doing a coaching session right now, right? Like came to me and you were like, all right, yeah, I want some coaching here to up my game. All right. So one of the first things that I'll ask you is, what's your goal with baseball this season?
I want to make money.
That's not a goal, Jordan.
I mean, that is a goal. I mean, it is a goal. I mean, it's not a defined goal. This is what I'm talking about as far as like, okay, I think it's a reasonable answer to say like, oh, I want to make money, or I want to win a GPP.
I think I will say, because I know that you're being facetious with that answer, but I will say that wanting to win a GPP, I do think is a realistic goal for some people.
You also have to realize winning a GPP doesn't mean that at the end of the season that you've won money.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But winning a GPP is a realistic defined goal. And that's the big thing. You said it perfectly. A defined goal is what you need. You need to have something to where when you look at it, it's not some innocuous thing that you can't put a process into. Like, I just want to make money this MLB season. It's like, okay, well, if you want to make money this MLB season, what does that mean that you're going to be doing the entire season? Like, how are you going to track your progress? How are you going to hit your milestones? How do you know if you're on track to do that or not? Like, the expectation there, it's kind of like saying, I'll take care of it tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. Like, it just becomes this blob of a goal that doesn't have any actual details or mass to it. And so it's never going to change your process enough to where you're going to become profitable across multiple sports. And that's ultimately what the goal is becoming a profitable DFS player means every single sport that you play, you can be profitable in it. So that's my biggest thing. I think that it's defined goals. I think that most people are just playing because they like DFS. And by the way, that's fine. If your defined goal is that you like DFS and that this is entertainment value for you, like some people like to go out to the movies and spend $45 on a bucket of popcorn. You like to spend $45 stacking the Marlins. Like, whatever your goal is, that's fine. But just have a defined goal. Understand why you're playing.
And then once you have that goal, you can tailor your play to maximize your chances of reaching that goal.
I was talking to a subscriber the other day over at Pater, and I said, okay, well, he was like, well, do I need to go down in contests? How should I attack this? And I'm like, okay, well, like, I don't know, maybe what's your goal with DFS? And he was like, to place top 10 in GPP. It's like, okay, so go play a 10-man GPP. And like, you'll place top 10 and you'll place top 10.
It obviously means a large field GPP.
Right. But that's the thing, right? Like, having an understanding of how you should be approaching the contest that you're playing and having an approach of like a defined goal so that you can tailor your contest and your action and your process towards achieving that goal is how you play DFS. It's not an optional thing. It's a requirement. If you want to be a good at DFS, you have to understand why you're playing.
I think there's only one answer to that question. Like, from a macro high level.
Yeah.
There's only one answer to the question. And if your answer is not yes, then you're playing for entertainment. And the answer, and then the number one answer is, are you looking to make a profit?
Right.
If your answer is no, you could do whatever you want. But if your answer is not yes, right, then you are playing for entertainment. So, like, oh, I want to come in top 10 in the GPP is not playing for that's an entertainment value goal, right? Coming in top 10 in the GPP doesn't mean you're profitable, right? I came in eighth once in an MLB season, and I'm down $15,000. I mean, like, that doesn't mean anything. People have these like proxies of what good is. And I think macro wise, the one of the top things that prevents you from being a profitable player is not understanding that you're looking to make decisions based on what would be the most profitable long term.
Right.
And I think that number two, James, is the long term. And that's, I think, I mean, we'll get it. It's not my number one, but one of the things that prevents people from becoming profitable players is simply they may think they do, but they don't. Understanding the broadest of broad level of what expected value is. I'm talking about broad level of what would be the most profitable decision? What would be a profit? Maybe not even the most profitable, just profitable decision, James, right? We go through this example in theory of DFS, right? Mm-hmm. I'm giving you I'm going to roll a six-sided die, James.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to guess what number shows up. I'm going to give you 20-1. Right, you bet whatever you bet, I'll pay you 20 times. Are you happy to do that?
Yeah, hell
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, you're gonna bet $1 right now or something, right? You're gonna bet whatever amount of money, $100. I'll take $100, sure. Right? What number do you guess?
Just any number, just one. I'll just go one.
Okay. I rolled it, it came up 4.
Okay.
Okay. Now that's the same exact thing. Like you would do it does to you. It doesn't even matter what number you choose.
No, I can be completely random. It doesn't
right,
matter.
Completely random, right? But you chose one and it came up 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is it that it doesn't matter what number you choose and you're happy to keep on? You're happy to make that bet even though you lost. You bet $100, and I have your $100 now, right? Why are you perfectly happy and you're wondering why I'm allowing you to still bet on this roll of a die at 20-1.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here wondering why you were offering me this. There's got to be a catch behind it because anything that I choose is expected value. Just anything is positive expected value. If I have $100 and I bet it at 20-1, well, let's say $1. If I have $1 and I bet it at 20-1 on a six-sided die, the odds of me winning are significantly higher or significantly lower. Wait, am I saying
significantly
right?
Higher than
yeah, what significantly you're higher.
Paid right. Out more than what the actual probability of the event happened.
Right. Yeah. So anything that I choose, literally just go to random.com and just choose any number over and over again. I will play this game until you absolutely refuse to stop paying me 20-1 on this die. Because the expected value on anything that I choose is good. It's positive.
James, if I were to give you even money, even money,
yeah,
on whether or not it's going to rain at some specified date in the future, I won't even tell you what date it is.
Yeah,
would you take that bet?
No, not on even money.
Yeah, why wouldn't you even money? It rains less than half the time.
Oh, right. No, yeah, you're right. Yep, I would.
Okay, so you would, right.
I was overthinking it. Hence,
right.
Another issue that people make in DFS, but we'll handle that later.
Right. So let's say I just choose a random date in the future. I mean, really in the future.
Yeah.
August 18th, 2027 in Tampa.
Okay.
Okay. And we bet $100 and it even money. I'm going to say it rains.
Yeah.
And you're gonna bet against it. It raining.
Yeah.
Okay. Because anywhere in the country or whatever, like it rains like a quarter of the time. Like, yeah. it's not half the time. Is there any value in me figuring out, does it matter if it rains on August 18th, 2027 or not?
No.
Specifically?
Yeah, specifically, no.
Right. And why is that?
Because with a one-to-one bet, basically saying 50-50 chance, if the chance of anywhere in the country is 25% of the time.
Right, okay, you're explaining it.
Yeah, if it's anywhere in the country, it's 25% of the time. And it's a random place, and you choose Florida, whatever, in the middle of summer. I'm going to take that. If you were to offer me, because it's 50-50, if you were to offer me, 4-1 on it, then that changes the odds.
Right. Then if I offered you 20-1,
right,
you'd bet that it rains on that day.
Right. Because the odds are better in my favor at that point for the payout. The expected value is better on my point than it would be on your point.
So what do we learn with expected value as a concept, right? People that think they understand, I'm calling out people that I talk to like every day that still do not understand expected value. Because what James, what is the expect? Can you tell me on that August 18th, 2027, what is the expected value?
Oh man, I don't know the formula off the top of my head.
No. James, what is the exact probability on August 18th, 2027 at 5:21 PM? That it will rain on a certain block in Ybor City in Tampa Bay.
I don't know.
Okay. If I gave you 7 million to 1 that it's going to rain, what's the expected value of that bet?
Positive.
No, I don't want to know positive. I want to know the literal exact expected value. Can you tell me it?
No, I can't.
Oh, that means you're obviously not going to take the bet because you can't. You can't give me the exact. No. I'm only giving you 7 million to 1 on something that, what would you estimate it to be that the chances of it raining on that specific day? What would you estimate?
Just give it 20%.
20%. Let's say you're off by like a factor of 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving you 7 million to 1. Is it still going to be profitable?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably, right? So you could be off. It's either going to rain 20% of the time, or maybe it could only rain 2% of the time. And either way, at 7 million to 1, it's going to be profitable because if it was only 2% of the time, you'd break even at 50 to 1.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So the concept of expected value is that what is the probability of the event happening and what are you getting paid probabilistically on that event?
Yep.
Coin flip is 50-50. If you get paid more than even money on a coin flip, it's a profitable bet. Right?
I love the coin flip bets in the Super Bowl talking about this, which are always negative 105 or 110.
But I repeat this over and over again, and people are nodding their heads, and I guarantee you there are people listening right now that still do not understand expected value. And I'm talking about from a conceptual standpoint. This is the most, and I would say the second most, because we're going to get to the most important thing. This is the most important concept.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have to think in terms of probability and payoff. Okay? On tonight's slate, if I go look, it's not going to be perfect, but I'll use this as an example. I'm just looking at the bat projections. Let's see. Okay, Steven Matz is pitching in Coors tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. The bat has his quality start at 0.3.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So if we convert that to a percentage,
yeah,
what would 0.3 be?
3%.
No, 30%.
30. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, right. 0.3.
I don't have. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm just going. Okay. So 30%, according to the bat projections.
Yeah.
Based on all of the factors, all the math, all the everything, all the factors, all the that you literally have to look at no baseball. You just look and you say, okay, based on all those factors, Steven Matz will have a quality start 30% of the time.
Okay.
If Steven Matz goes out and throws a perfect game, maybe not a perfect game. That would be very surprising.
That'd be fun.
If Steven Matz goes out and throws six innings of and he only gives up two earned runs and has four strikeouts, which is what a quality start would be, right? Would you be shocked?
No.
No. Is it less likely to happen than 50% of the time?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Right. We have it at 30% of the time we'll have a quality start.
Yeah.
Okay. James. Is he going to have a quality start tonight?
I don't know.
How do you not know? Is this what you do for a living, right?
That is correct. Yes.
So how do you not? How do you know that? How could you tell me that you don't know what Steven Matz is going to do tonight?
Well, because we're not here to predict the future. We're here to
Steven Matz. It says point three. Like if I look at all these quality starts for all the numbers for all the pitchers, Scherzer 46. Cease 43, Bieber 52, Gibson 53, 37 for Heaney. Like Matz is like all the way at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's all no. Matthew Strom is actually 28, right?
Yeah, that's the pitch limit. Yeah,
right, because of the pitch limit, right? So he's already down to 30%. So like, what are the chances that Graham Ashcraft 40%?
Uh huh.
Okay. So the projections are telling me that Graham Ashcraft is going to have a quality start and Steven Matz isn't. That's what it's going to say?
No.
So it says that Max Scherzer is guaranteed to have a quality start tonight because his is one of the highest at 46%.
No.
So you're telling me that Max Scherzer, six innings, less than four runs, like that's like a lock, right?
46% is not like a lot, no.
Yeah, but it's the highest.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's the high. So if you were to choose a pitcher on the slate, you would choose Scherzer because, like, he's guaranteed to go six innings and not give up four runs.
If I was going to choose a pitcher on the slate, I might choose Scherzer, but he is not guaranteed to do anything.
So then I don't play Scherzer, I play Bieber. Bieber has a 52% chance at a quality start.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Bieber would be a better play than Scherzer.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? You do this for a living. You do, dude. This is what you do every day.
This is a fun game.
Like you're gonna tell me who to play. I mean, like, what can you tell me about Bieber? I mean, I see here that his number is the highest at 52.
Uh huh.
So is he gonna have a quality start today or not?
Maybe.
Does the 52 mean it'll have a quality start 52% of the time?
That is what it means, yes.
Oh, so does that mean today? Like if there's today and tomorrow, like his next start, that would make like about 50%, right? So out of the next series of starts, he's going to have like half of them be quality starts and half of them not be quality starts. Now I'm paying you, James. Tell me which one is today and which one is next.
So here's what I'm going to tell you, all right?
You know, you see what I'm doing.
I do. And I'm going to carry along here. Because he's going to have a quality start 52% of the time, all right? Play him tonight. Or no, don't play him tonight and just pay attention, okay? Don't play him, but pay attention. And if he has a quality start, that means his next start, he won't. And then you don't play him. And then you don't play him next. But if he doesn't have a quality start tonight, lock him in. 100% exposure.
You're being facetious, but I'm actually trying to teach because there's still people, James.
I know.
I'm telling you. People still do. I mean, they could say they do. They do not get this. Mm-hmm. Okay? You have, as far as thinking probabilistically, like you have to think in terms of probabilities for every living thing that you do. Once it clicks, you will not be able to view anything in your life other than a matter of EV and then choose to ignore whether or not it's negative EV because you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, why do I sit and watch Netflix for 3 hours?
Life utilities. Life utils.
Right. But it's negative EV because I could, there's money I could be made doing something else. Right.
Yeah. But it brings you joy. Joy matters.
Right. Of course. But I'm saying, but you're in that mentality.
Yep.
Okay. The 121 single entry on DraftKings. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to pull it up.
AKA the best contest.
Yes. It has 642 entries.
Who is it? Is it 10K to first day?
It's 10K to first.
Yes.
642 entries. Mm-hmm. If everyone, remember this is single entry, so we don't have to bother going into, well, you have 150 entries type of garbage.
Yeah.
It's single entry. There's 642 entries in there.
Yeah.
Okay. If everyone was equally skilled.
Yeah.
Right, equally skilled, and I entered, you know, you entered, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
How often would I win first place if everyone was equally skilled?
One out of 642 slates.
Okay. Which is about what, three seasons of baseball?
Yeah, sure, just about. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So if everyone was equally skilled, your expectation on winning first place is once every 3 years. Okay? That's your expectation. Like, that, if it happened less than that, less often than that, that would be positive variance. That would be running good.
Yeah.
If you played it every day for 3 years and haven't won first, and everyone was equally skilled, and it was been 3 years, now you're running bad.
Right.
If everyone was equally skilled. Now, let's use an extreme example. Let's say you were 50% better on average than everyone in the contest. Now, I'm saying that it is an extreme because no one is 50% better.
Nobody's
like saying. Right. Typically maybe 20 to 30%, maybe. Right? Right. Depending on the contest, depending on how many bad entries that basically did you have to how many bad lineups are there. But let's say you were 50% better. On average, 642 entries. And if you're 50% better, you're like the greatest DFS player that has ever lived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You're basically Sahil.
Right. No, you'd be twice. I mean,
it's a joke. It's, I know.
642 entries. How often should I win first play?
321 times.
Right.
Once every 321.
Okay. So that's, once every year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. If I was 50% better on average than everyone else. The contest also, you know, pays like top 20%.
Yeah.
Okay. If everything being equal, all things being equal, how often should I just cash? Who cares what place I came in, but just cash. 20% of the field gets paid. On average, if everyone was equally skilled.
Is that once every...
five slates?
Yeah, I was going to say like five, six slates.
Right, 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Right, once every five slates. That's your expectation. If everyone was equal, If you played for Monday through Friday and cashed once and didn't cash four times... that wouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm doing horrible. Right. Like, no, that's you're at expectation. You're at expectation. Now, let's say you're 50%. Remember, no one's 50% better than on average than everyone in the contest. Let's just say you're 50%, but how often would you cash?
Yeah, let's say that I'm now big T and I'm going to cash now once every two slates, once every three slates.
Well, once every maybe two and a half, three slates.
Yeah. Okay. Once every two to three slates.
Right. If you were the greatest ever.
Yeah. That if I was exist. Justin McMahon, just so good.
Right.
I'm name dropping because it's fun, but you know, it's all in fun.
I'm just trying to explain stuff.
Yeah.
Because you know, James, people will go and look at those people.
And they're good players.
Right. But that's not the point of the conversation.
I know.
No, because I think this is very important because there I see how many people listening. I guarantee you half of the people listening still do not understand this concept.
Yeah.
You're sitting there nodding your head going, no, I get it. And I'm telling you, you don't. Because if you got it, you wouldn't ask. Like, after 3 weeks, am I doing something wrong?
Right.
Right? How long, and I'm being serious here, how long, if you would play the 121, assuming that you're playing basic, I'm playing a five-man style, you're playing a lineup that is competitive, right? You're not playing garbage, right? You're not playing your cash lineup in it, but you're not playing low projected. You're playing some lineup that, like, dude, you're playing a five... Play five-man stack and a good pitch and the most expensive pitcher. Like, you're good. Like, at that point, you're playing a competitive enough lineup, okay? At what point, sample size-wise, you need to have in order to determine whether or not, to some reasonable level of accuracy, on if you were playing well or running bad.
If everyone is equally skilled in this contest?
No, I'm not talking about it. I don't. Years. Just years. In general, in the one, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Years.
Years.
Yeah, years.
Years. You'd have to have a sample size of, I don't know, five, six, ten seasons maybe.
Yeah.
And if you were playing, let's now convert it to large field. Let's say instead of the contest being 500, 600 entries, now we're talking about 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 entries. How long, if you're playing competitive lineups, right? Competitive, I'm not even saying they're plus EV. I'm just saying that they're not garbage.
Right.
Right. They're not like the bottom of the barrel in EV. How long would it take you to go, oh, now my ROI is within one standard deviation of its true value?
Nobody even knows. Literally, there's not a single player that actually knows right now.
Right. And the answer could be multiple lifetimes.
Yeah.
That you couldn't live. Right. Even in the 121, which is only like a 500 man contest on average, right? 450 to 600, something like that. You would need 5 to 10 years. Like before your actual ROI would be within one standard deviation of its true. Remember, we're talking about the probability of the event happening versus the payoff that you're getting paid. When do those things mesh where you have enough sample size where it's like, no, we know the probability and I know exactly how much I get paid off? That's like, no one's played that. And if you played the 121 every single day since the DraftKings has offered it ever, you likely do not have a sample. It's still going to be over one standard deviation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm saying this because there are people watching right now that still do not understand the concept of expected value. Because this is all wrapped into that. This is all wrapped into it of James. I'm going to give you a bet. Let's go back to the dice.
Okay.
Okay. Because before you bet, 20 to 1 on a 6 to 1 shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll keep on doing that over and over and over again, right? That's
yeah.
right? Right. You'll win on average once at every six times and get paid $20. Then the other five times you lose and you lose $5 and now you have $15 in your pocket.
Right.
Right. On average, right? You could lose 50 straight rolls. I mean, like yeah. It's long term. It's a long sample size. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna pay you $1,000,000 to 1 on a 5,000 sided die.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you bet $1. Okay. Yeah. What number do you choose?
Whatever.
Whatever, right. Just come up with whatever number.
Yeah. 4,762.
Okay. Well, it came up 4,224.
Oh, man. Top 10% finish, but not quite there.
Right. Why are you such a bad dice tout?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Just life's hard.
But I'm asking you, this is what you do for a living.
Yeah.
What made you pick that number?
It was positive expected value number to choose.
No, but what about that specific number? Did you look at the past numbers that were rolled?
I did not, no.
But why wouldn't you? I look at the past like 10 numbers to see what was rolled.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I mean, for the purposes of this dice and this payout, that's an awesome strategy, and I think you should keep doing that.
Obviously not.
Well, no. Well, for this specific one though, it is fine because they could choose at random and it wouldn't matter. Or
it
they
wouldn't
could
matter, right? Mad. Right. It wouldn't matter what you
specifically
did.
Specifically
right.
For this one, that's awesome. Keep doing your thing. Eventually, right. You're gonna hit, and it's a plus EV play.
I'm repeating this over and over again because I want people to. I'm gonna send people to this episode, and I want people to watch, mm-hmm. Right? If I gave you a six-sided die, I gave you 20 to 1, mm-hmm. Right? What happens if I gave you 2 to 1?
Then I would never play that game with you.
Okay, well, let's say I find someone uh-huh. that takes my bet, right? It's not you, uh-huh. Right? Right? To only get paid 2 to 1 on a 6 to 1 occurrence?
Yeah.
It's negative EV. Every time you win... You win $2 and then you lose 5 other times and you end up with minus $3, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, why would you do that? But let's say I found someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found someone. I got someone down the street, doesn't understand expected value.
Yeah.
As a concept, I mean, just like, who cares about calculating? It's just like, dude, do you want to lay me 1 to 5 on a coin flip? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'd love to find those people, right? Right. So 6 to 1, right? It's a 6-sided die. I'm only giving 2 to 1 odds on a payout. The guy that I find on the street, he says, I'll bet 4. And then I roll a 4.
Uh-huh.
Why is that guy a better dice tout than you, James?
I'm not sure.
Because when you mm-hmm. guessed 1, right? Because when you're standing there with him. Right. So essentially you're there. The schmuck down the street, someone from here is there.
The schmuck, yeah.
We're only going to have a dice roll. James, I'm paying you 20 to 1. I'm mm-hmm. only paying this guy 2 to 1.
Yeah.
Right. And you guessed 1. He guessed 4. And the roll was 4.
Yeah.
So you lost money. He actually made he actually made $2.
That is true. Yeah.
So like. Why couldn't you, because you're so good at this game,
uh-huh.
why couldn't you figure out that a 4 was going to get rolled?
Well, because he got lucky and variance is in his favor.
And let's say we roll again.
Mm-hmm.
What number do you choose?
I'll choose 5.
Okay. And he chooses 2.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it comes up 3.
Yeah.
So you both lose.
Yeah.
Okay. And if we kept on doing this, right?
Okay, yeah. Let's say okay. So now on the 15th roll, all right. I've lost the last 14 in a row, and he's hit twice, so he now has $4.
Right.
15th roll, I choose 3.
It comes up 3.
What did he choose?
He chose 4.
Oh man. Okay, so now after 15 rolls, he has $4, and I have $20.
Right. You're right. Even though you've lost 14 other times.
Yeah. There you go. That's the reason why.
What does this have to do with DFS? I mean, let's just say, okay, I have to phrase these things over and over again.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, there are people literally watching right now that are nodding their heads saying, Jordan, I get this. And I'm telling you, you don't get this. Because by the questions that you ask, by the statements that you make, you don't get. Because if you got it, there would be, you wouldn't be saying the things that you say. Right? What do I care, James, about, like you're telling me that this dice, like, if I told you there was only going to be one roll,
yeah,
would it change your decision?
No.
Okay. So what are you telling me? Like, it says here that Steven Matz is going to have a quality start 30% of the time.
Yeah.
Is that so? One out of three times.
Yeah.
He'll have a quality start in this given situation. Mm-hmm. What's the use of that number if I don't know what the, like, what I need to know tonight versus his next start versus his next? You tell me on average he has a quality start a third of the time.
Yeah.
Like, how does that help me tonight?
Well, is the payoff of using him higher than that chance, or higher than the chance of him having that quality start or not? So based on ownership and based on the way that you use him in a contest, if he's going to be lower owned than, you know, 30% of the time, then he might be a plus EV play based on projection and relative value against players in his price range.
Yeah, but I don't understand why, like, so if I play Steven Matz tonight and he loses,
yeah,
that means I play the next two times to make sure that I get his one quality start?
No, because that's not how probabilities work.
So the only way that I should play Steven Matz is that if I played him every slate, because then I would get. Right. That's what I would do, because I should only play Steven Matz if I'm going to play him every slate. But if I'm not going to, if I don't play him,
yeah,
just never play him or only play him every third time.
No to everything that you just said.
I don't understand.
I know.
I'm telling you the questions that I get asked. Right.
I know.
By people that say, yes, I get EV.
Mm-hmm.
I go, no, you don't. You still don't. You still don't get it.
Yeah.
Right. Max Scherzer, does it matter what happens tonight?
No.
It gets back to the your first thing.
Yeah.
Your goal. The only way any of these questions matter, right, as far as is Shane Bieber going to do well? Well, I have him doing well 52% of the time.
Yeah.
Right. So half the time, about half the time he does well, half the time he doesn't do well enough. Doesn't mean he does badly, just not a quality start, right? Yeah. Well, which one of the times is tonight? The only way that it would matter is if, like, the world explodes tomorrow, right? Or, like, DFS doesn't exist tomorrow.
If this is the last ever chance that you get to try to have him have a quality start.
Right. Or you are down and you're playing 100% of your bankroll and can never play DFS ever again, because once you're out of money completely and you'll never have any money ever again.
Yeah.
Right. So when we get back to your first thought of goals, if your goal, like I said it originally, anything other than your goal is to make money, to have a profit, means that you are playing for entertainment. And in order to make a profit, it's not about making a profit tonight. Just like with your dice. It's like, well, I'm just going to make plus EV decisions. I'm going to make decisions that pay me more money than the probability that they happen. And as long as I'm able to get myself into as many of those spots as possible, like over the course of a season, of a year, of a month, of 2 years, my likelihood of making money, of being profitable, goes up and 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 up. When does that money come in? that's not my concern, right? When I tell people that when I analyze one full season of DFS GPPs for MLB, that I lost 94% of the time but made $35,000, right? Or this, James, I get this a lot in MMA.
Yeah.
MMA, like, I lose all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I lose all of, I mean, I lose most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, people will say, right, in MMA, I'll get a message or something like that. Like, I don't see what the point of your MMA stuff is. Like, you play this person, you do this thing, and then it doesn't work out. And then the next week, and it doesn't work out. And the next week, it doesn't work out. And the next week, it doesn't work out. It's like why am I listening to you? It's like, well, MMA, I've made like $200,000 in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Right? And they go, yeah, but when's the last time you won a lot of money? And then I would say to them, I said, if I told you right now, you like just the person I'm talking to right now, that 2.5 years from now, right, do you want $200,000 from playing MMA DFS? And they would go, yes. Okay. Does it matter if it's $1,000 a week or one time that you won $225,000?
Right.
Like, doesn't matter at that. Like, you're just fast forwarding 2.5 years in the future, and you have $200,000+, and you played MMA DFS every week. Does the distribution of how that happened matter? Does it matter? No. What does that matter? Now, when you're playing GPPs, the distribution is going to be huge spikes and then slopes down. That's expected value. It's the 5,000 sided die. Well, you're getting paid 1,000,000 to 1. It's like, yeah, and I'm going to lose 4,999 times and then be a millionaire at some point in this, on average, in this 5,000 time I play.
Yeah.
So within a certain time frame, I'm going to be a millionaire playing that. And
maybe it's in 10 years. Who knows?
Maybe it's in, right. But what's going to happen tomorrow? It's not about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's about what's going to happen every single day that you play for the long run, right? If you're putting down 100% of your bankroll every day, yeah, then obviously you'll never play DFS ever again past tonight, then it matters very heavily whether or not Ronald Acuña is going to hit a home run, right? Because you only have a one-game sample size, sure.
Right.
But if you're playing for a profit, if you're playing DFS, if that is your goal, for a profit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, you're looking to play every day and make money over the course of a year, no matter how it's distributed. So you should make the decisions that are profitable. That the more and more you add to your sample size, the more and more probable that you're going to be profitable. Mm-hmm. That's it. So it's a matter of like, oh, Max Scherzer has a 50% chance of having a quality start. It's like, if you were just betting on quality starts and it's like someone's giving you even money, and Scherzer has even money, like that would break it. It wouldn't matter whether or not you bet on it or not.
But if he's 52% and you're getting even money on it.
Right. Yeah, maybe it you eke out a little bit.
Yeah, more. Yeah, get that if you really want to nit about it. 2%.
Right. You really want to nit about it. So when you go and you place a prop bet. Oh, I think so and so is going to throw more than X strikeouts. If you say that sentence, that means you do not understand expected value. If you said, I think so-and-so has a 58% chance of throwing X strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're thinking more in expected value because now you can have something to compare. Well, if I think he has a 58% chance of throwing more than four strikeouts, or no, I think he has a 60% chance of throwing more than four strikeouts. Let me see what the line on his strikeout prop is. If it's four and I'm getting minus 110, then it stands to be profitable. If I think that he throws more than four strikeouts 60% of the time, right? If he went and his strikeout prop was four at minus 175, you wouldn't bet on it, even though you think that he's going to throw more than four strikeouts, because what are you getting paid? You're not getting minus 150 is 60% implied probability. So anything over minus 150, and this is without looking at a model. I mean, if you just literally, like, I'm not even saying to look at projections. LeBron's going to triple-double tonight.
Oh, yeah. Revenge.
Like
revenge
something thing. Or something like that. Like, that's, well, what's the probability? Just tell me the probability of that. That's it. Oh, it's 100% of the time. Like, well, then you're stupid, right?
It's a lock. It's a lock, baby.
Because once you think in terms of probabilities, in terms of EV, there's no such thing as, oh, well, Shane Bieber has a 52% chance at a quality start. Oh, let's take a look at his projection, right? His projection on FanDuel. Let's see. Projection on FanDuel for Shane Bieber is 35.74. And as I've explained, as we said multiple times, that's a mean projection. That means Bieber's going to put up, James is going to put up 35 points today, right?
Let's go.
No. It means that half the time he puts up over 35 and half the time he puts up less than 35.
Right.
That's all that number means. Right? That's all that number means. Well, what is he going to do tonight? I don't know, but here's his range of outcomes. Here's a mostly normal distribution.
He's probably going to be somewhere between 16 and 44 fantasy points.
Right, right. If we look at the floor, like, yeah, even Cardi has the floor and the ceiling, which is for him the 25th and 75th percentile on FanDuel, yeah, is 20 to 50.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Right, that sounds about right. 20 to 50. That the bulk of the results are 20 to 50. Okay. You know the bulk of the results of Shane Bieber? 20 to 50.
Yep.
Dylan Cease is 21 to 51. Framber Valdez is 19 to 48. Kyle Gibson is 18 to 48. Sandy Alcantara is 17 to 47. Mm-hmm. Now, Sandy Alcantara is 17 to 47 is less than 20 to 50, right?
Yep.
But does... Oh, well, Shane Bieber's the lock. Sandy Alcantara's garbage. Like, dude... Do you see how narrow those range of outcomes are between these pitchers? One becomes the best play on the slate, and the other one is 2% owned.
Yeah.
It's only a difference in a range of 3 fantasy points.
Yeah. Literally, right? One strikeout, one at bat.
Right. Like one strikeout difference, right? So if you're thinking in terms of expected value, your goal in DFS, even if you were on a player-by-player basis, just the vacuum of players, is to determine the probability of someone doing well versus what everyone else thinks, right? So if 40% of people have Bieber and 2% of people have Framber Valdez, and you're like, well, Shane Bieber will outscore Framber Valdez 54% of the time, 53% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 3% more of the time that Shane Bieber outscores Framber Valdez. Should Shane Bieber be 20 times more owned than Framber Valdez? No. Even though Bieber will outscore Framber Valdez slightly more often.
Yep.
Right. That's expected value. That's. I'm going to play a lineup that whatever the chalk stack, like I'm not going to play the Rays today. Right. Even though if you played the Rays every day, you probably made a lot of money.
Right. Start the season.
Right. But whatever. Some chalk 30% stack.
Yeah.
Does that mean if I say I'm not playing the 30% on stack today, that doesn't mean I don't think they're going to do well. What is the probability of them being in the winning lineup versus how they're owned? That's it. If you told me the Atlanta Braves have a 700 total, right? Or whatever the hell. Coors has a 74 implied run total. I mean, just like 74, and everything else is at a 7.5, right?
Yeah.
And Coors is 74. And be like, oh, Jordan, you're going to fade Coors. It's like not a 2% owned. It's like if they happen to be 2% owned, I'm not going to – I'll play them at 2% owned.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're going to be 60% owned. It's like with that total, I'll probably play that. I think they're under owned. I'll
probably play it too.
Right. But you see how none of this has anything to do with what I think is going to happen. It's just what is the probability of something happening versus what am I getting paid? And obviously in DFS, it pays to be contrarian, mm-hmm. right? Right, I don't mind betting on the 20-sided die if I'm getting 50-1. But if I'm only getting 10-1, then I'm not betting on the die.
Right.
Like all your job is to find the die, find the spot, play the lineups that show to have a higher probability than the average of the other lineups in the contest. That's it. And then do that as often as possible. Right, as often as possible, for as long as possible, and especially the GPPs, as they get bigger and bigger, remember, your sample size for large field GPPs would be multiple lifetimes before, like, it would be within expectation. If you were to play, let's say you play, like some people play 20 lineups yeah. into the large field GPP, right? So 20 lineups into like a 50,000 entry contest, right? That's the equivalent of like one, you have one entry out of every 2,500 entries.
Yeah.
Okay. If everyone was even, that means that you would win the GPP once every 2,500 times.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's say you played
every 20 seasons or something.
Right. Okay. So James, what am I doing wrong? I'm playing 20 entries into large field and I've played for 9 days and like I haven't made money.
What was it that you'd said one time that you told somebody to come back and tell you how they were doing in 10 years?
Yeah, but it's not a blunt, it's literally the most truthful answer you can give. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, come back in 10 years and let's see if that worked out. But that's what I mean by like if you're asking questions 3 weeks into the season going, I'm not sure if I'm doing this well, unless it's something major, major thing that you could highlight and go, yeah, maybe playing four players from the bench and the relief pitcher is probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Right?
Like, or you're like, oh, I opened up my 121 entry and my lowest owned player was 74% owned. Like, yeah, you're probably screwing up somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. But to realize your expected value, like, is ginormous.
Yeah.
Like in the six sided dice and the 20-1, like you could if I told you that you could do that like 5,000 times, like your chances of being profitable are close to 100%.
Yeah, pretty close to 100%.
Right. Because of the how much of a edge you have and how little of a sample size, smaller of a sample size you need to realize that. I mean, imagine getting paid, if I'm going to pay you 1,000-1 on a coin flip, like, dude, you'll like You'll realize that in like a couple of flips, right?
Yeah, well, like six or something,
right? Or something like your chance. Like if I said that we were gonna flip this, and you're getting paid 1,000 to 1, and we're gonna flip it 100 times, the likelihood of you showing a profit is like 99.9999%, right? Like the only way that you wouldn't show a profit in 100 flips is if it, like, you bet heads and it came up tails 100 times in a row.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If because you get paid 1,000 to 1. Right. I mean, like.
Yeah.
So go over this in your head. I mean, like seriously. Like, because people are gonna watch this, they're gonna nod their head. Then tomorrow, I'm gonna get a question. Of, I do X, Y, and Z, and I haven't. This hasn't happened yet. I go, okay, come back to me in 10 years.
Yep.
Right. Oh, but I'm playing like 74% of my bankroll every day. It's like, yeah, well, that's your problem. Like, you don't seem to, then you're not playing, then you're playing for entertainment.
Right.
You're not playing to make a profit. Right. But this isn't, James. No, this one is a little long. This isn't the biggest thing.
Uh-huh.
Right. I would rank yours number 3, right?
Okay.
The goal, right? Like, if you don't have, what are you playing for? Like, how do you even determine what you're even doing?
Right.
Right. Number 2 is like just having a fundamental macro understanding of, I'm saying expected value, but really it's just probability. Just understanding exactly what probability is, the law of large numbers, like just. Faith, this is stuff that you'd learn in high school. But the number one thing that prevents people from being a profitable player is not learning.
Okay, sure.
And not learning and failure to problem solve.
Yeah.
That said, there's one, the biggest signal to me that you will never or very unlikely be a profitable player is the inability to problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I wish I could just throw those people out immediately. Because I mean, I would tell them that they should stop playing.
Yeah.
But they should not play at all. And James, what do I mean by the inability to learn or the inability to problem solve?
I would call it insanity. Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That kind of thing in DFS is somebody like you or me, or, you know, somebody buys theory DFS and then goes through the whole thing, listens to all of it, listens to the chapter on correlation, and then refuses to correlate and just goes home run hunting. And it's like, I don't tell you, man, like the info is right there. You were told exactly the thing that you were supposed to do. You were taught exactly the thing you were supposed to do. And then you just go do something else instead.
No, there's someone even worse than that.
Oh, let's hear it.
No, I said the inability to learn.
Yeah.
The most important part of your statement was the information is out there. The information is out there.
Yep.
It's like, I literally do it every day. We have a course and everything. You just listen to it.
Yep.
You know how many times, James? I mean, you don't have to give an exact number. But I've talked to people. People have reached out privately, DM me, posted in Discord. I need help with so and such and such. I go, I would highly suggest that you watch the DFS pregame show. Here's 3 episodes on exactly what you're talking about. I'd also suggest that I covered this in the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. Okay? And here's a link or whatever. They go, thanks. 3 weeks later, I get a question. Mm-hmm. When doing X, Y, and Z, should I do X, Y, and Z? Like that was explained. Like, I would suggest you go and watch the 3 videos that, like, you're asking a question that I literally, like, why am I explaining that? It's literally in the video that I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't watched it yet.
Been 3 weeks.
Just watch it.
Yeah.
Just what were you doing for 3 weeks? I'll go watch it. And then I'll get a month later, I'll get another question of something like that. I'll go, well, I covered that extensively in like the theory, like we talk about that for like an hour in the theory of daily fantasy sports. And you go, well, can you like I just sit there, go, like the information's there. Like this is the information's there. All you have to do, just watch it.
Yeah.
Just listen to it. I mean, like it blows my mind of like, because that's lack of wanting to learn. Then your goal is not to be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to learn, right? You obviously don't want to learn. But even worse, James. I know this feels like I'm scolding people. Most of the people in that are watching now probably don't fit this one, but this is the number one sign, to me at least, that you're never, and I'm saying I would bet that these people will never be profitable DFS players unless they get luck. Obviously, you could get hit the million, get lucky, whatever. Anyone that has no problem solving cognitive ability.
I mean, yeah.
James, where would I find the bat projections?
At RotoGrinders.
Oh yeah, the bat projections at RotoGrinders. Where?
Yep.
James, who's starting for the Braves today?
I don't know. It's in the projections.
Like, why can't you tell me, like, James, who's starting for the Braves today?
Got other things to do.
Where would I find that information?
You can find it in the projections over at RotoGrinders, or you could find it on baseballpress.com/lineups, or you could find it on Twitter, or you could basically find it anywhere. If you open up your phone and type in who is starting for the Braves, you can just find it.
I could probably Google that. Who is starting for the Braves?
Yeah.
Tonight? Are they playing tonight? And then even a little show, like Braves probable pitchers, his starting lineups. I mean, also on the RotoGrinders page is a starting lineups page. That if you go to where would the starting lineups page be for MLB? Like if you had a menu bar, and you were looking for Major League Baseball starting lineups, and you went to the RotoGrinders homepage, right? So it's like, well, I don't see it right in front of me, but you see this bar right here. It's like, well, where would I go for Major League Baseball starting lineups? Do you think I would be lineup HQ? NASCAR? Would it be under NASCAR? Would it be under US State? Do I go to Georgia under US States and see where I could find the Atlanta Braves lineup for Major League Baseball that has a initials MLB? Where would I go to find the MLB information, do you think, on this navigation bar? Do you think it's under MLB or do you think it's under NBA?
Yeah, it's under MLB.
Okay. Now there's a drop down, but I'm going to click on it anyway. Right? Now I get to the MLB page. I'm looking for who's starting for the Braves. Okay?
All right, I get your point here, Jordan. I think everybody gets your point.
Maybe I clicked on the starting lamps. James, I'm at the RotoGrinders homepage. James, I need some help here, James.
Do you?
What time is Grinders live tonight?
It's directly in front of you.
Oh, it's right here. It says 5 o'clock Eastern, right?
Yeah.
Now, like, let's say I wanted to. I'm not on the website anymore. Right. What time is Grinders live today?
You can just Google it.
What? where would I find it? What site would I go to find out when Roto Grinders Grinders Live is on?
Jordan, please. I get it. I get it.
Probably go to Roto Grinders.
You don't like people that can't use the internet. I get it.
Where do you think Jordan. The DFS pregame show, the shows that I did last week, where do you think you could find them?
Just stop.
Where do you think you could find? Now, probably there's a video section here. I could probably look there. It's also on YouTube. Do you think, where would I find the Roto Grinders YouTube videos? Like probably I would type in YouTube, right? I go to YouTube, right? Where do you think I would find the Roto Grinders videos?
Well, if it's your YouTube, it's literally directly in front of you.
Right. But I mean, probably I go to the Roto Grinders YouTube channel.
Yeah, probably.
Right. Oh, I don't, but look on my screen, like where are the past videos?
Jordan, we get it.
I could scroll.
I totally understand.
There's a thing that says videos on it.
I get it. We can move on.
But that's to me, once you ask a question like that, in my head, it's like, nope, unprofitable DFS player. Because I don't understand, like, because now you can't even get to. Like what's expected value? I don't even understand how you even get to that. But I guarantee you that half the people that are watching do this.
I feel like half might be an overrepresentation, but I understand your point. Like there are people that for sure just don't have general problem solving skills in terms of like trying to find things they're trying to find. Googling is a good skill.
Right. In 7.5 years of playing DFS, I don't believe I've ever asked about anyone's injury status ever. Ever. Why is that?
Because you can just find it.
Because you can just find it. Right. I mean, like, and also, even more importantly, if you're a Roto Grinders premium member, or even I think it's free. I don't know. I've been for so long. I don't know what's free and what's not free.
Yeah.
We have news notifications for everything.
Yeah.
So like if like even in baseball, because it doesn't happen that often in baseball, basketball, obviously NBA is chaos.
Yeah.
Someone gets scratched out of a starting lineup or something like that, or so-and-so is now going to be on a 65 pitch count or something like that. Like Roto Grinders has I have Roto Grinders MLB notifications. So anything that's important enough that I would need to know that I wouldn't know that I need to know, it comes to me.
Yeah.
Right. You could also set up Twitter notifications. So let's say you don't want to use the RG app. You could go to the RG MLB Twitter and just set note. So Twitter will send you a notification. That's for all starting lineups, if you want anything like that. So like, even if you wanted the information to come to you when needed, there's the ability to do that as well.
Yep. Right.
But I highlight this. I'm James. I'm telling you, I highlight this because truthfully, right? Truthfully. James. So I'm using this as my soapbox, even though tomorrow we're back to unstructured learning. There should be no reason that me and you should ever have to do content ever again. Right?
Well, after doing theory DFS, we've pretty much given out everything that we know.
Right. So other than that, we're just reinforcing stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. And obviously some people learn in different ways.
Yeah. Some people are visual learners. And you see things happening. I get it.
Right. But the information is out there. Like no one's hiding it from anyone, from anything. It's all out there. Everything's out there.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a matter of finding it. Right? And it's not that hard to find it. MGC asked, Jordan, what's the weather forecast for tonight? people in the chat are like, oh, okay, like, can we move on and everything like that? It's like, I guarantee the people that are saying move on have done this multiple times.
I mean, I totally get it. I understand.
Right. All right. What's the weather forecast for tonight? Like, to look up the weather forecast. Like, and maybe if there's a weather forecast page on RotoGrinders that's called MLB Weather, and you just look at that. Mm-hmm. And when Roth says that he'll be updating it on Crunch Time, right?
Crunch Time is free.
Crunch Time is free, right? It's at 6:20, right after Grinders Live. Roth is there live with the radar.
Yeah.
And, like, he'll update it live. I mean, like, live, right? It won't be in his update because it says on the update when he's, like, too close to call, I'll update it on Crunch Time. I mean, that means that it's too close to call and it'll update it on Crunch Time. So you should watch it. That's what the words mean. So when it's 6:50 and the update is like not on the page, it's because the page says he'll update it on Crunch Time. So tune into Crunch Time. James, where can I find Crunch Time? Here on the YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
Hit the thumbs up and hit the subscribe buttons. I have to have a venting session because it's the most frustrating part. It's the most frustrating part.
Sure.
It's like you basically sent a signal that I'm not even sure it's worth the time to even help you.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. And venting, I mean, especially there's a lot of venting for most content creators early on in the season because we all deal with it, right? Like it becomes something where for sure it's what we signed up for. In creating content or creating projections or whatever it is that we provide for the industry. But early on in every season for every sport, there are always questions about, am I doing this right? Or do you think that this strategy still works? Or I haven't cashed a slate quite yet, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Like, and it's frustrating for a lot of content creators to have to deal with that stuff every single year, especially after you've been doing it like Jordan and I for 5+ years of our lives, 10 years for Jordan, since he's been in this for a long time. Like, it can be frustrating for sure.
I'm perfectly fine with like, oh, I watched this thing. Right. And in this part of the video, you said X, Y, and Z does that mean X? Like to me, that's, yeah, okay, I'm here. Clarification or everything like that. But sure. When it's like, dude, here's a video that explains everything. And it's like, oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. And then don't watch the video. It's like, then what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm trying to help as much as possible.
There is a nice little ping.
Sometimes it's like it's been 5 hours on one
thing.
There's
a nice little ping of nice justification when you say, yeah, go watch this video. And then they go watch the video and then they say, hey, yeah, they answered the question. Thanks.
Right. That's, well, nice. That's most of the time.
Feels great.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So hit the thumbs up button or the thumbs down button. Is there still a thumbs down? Is there even a thumbs down button anymore? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. Right. No, nobody's allowed to dislike anything.
Right. But I'm going to title this, What Prevents You From Being Profitable? Is that good? Is that a good title?
I would title it Jordan's Rants. What prevents you from being a fire?
So James, Paydirt_DFS on Twitter.
Yep, Paydirt_DFS on Twitter. And if you want my projections, models, all that kind of stuff, paydirtdfs.com. The optimizer has a lot of really cool new features over there for baseball too, and a lot of really cool baseball stuff. So yeah, go over there, grab a sub, and use the RotoGrinders lineup HQ with the projections, and have a good day.
Yep, and you can get, if you want to learn everything there is to know about DFS, just go to theoryofdfs.com. Mm-hmm. The Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. How to think like a professional DFS player. Theory of DFS for advanced players. How to apply profitable DFS strategies, which includes custom Excel tools. Like, if you want the most structured form of learning, like 21 hours of audio and Excel tools, there you go. Just all you have to do is listen. And you can come and watch this show every day. Pre-game, you could well go back 2.5 years and start beginning if you want. But since a lot of people are like, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot to go back 2.5 years, 3 years. and just talk about slates from three. Yeah, I get it. That's why we do the unstructured learning, where you could dip in at any time. You could come in. It's like, oh, I just started watching. It's okay. I'm fine answering your questions.
Yeah.
As long as you could find the show, right? Once you can't find the show, well, I'm not sure how I could help you. But if you can find the show, subscribe so you'll never have to be logged. Get the notification bell. You'll never miss the show ever again. We got Grinders. What do you got? MLB Grinders live tonight. We have no more NBA playoff stuff. If you want the playoff stuff, we have premium content here at Roto Grinders for playoffs. So get a combo premium subscription. Get all the projections for everything, the ownership for everything, all the articles for everything, for every sport, everything you want. So much easier that way.
Yeah.
So submit your questions at theoryofdfs.com. I already got some in. Be going over this week, but still add to the inbox. Mm-hmm. And I'll see you tomorrow answering your DFS strategy questions, like I try to do every Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.